Welcome to the United States Institute of Peace. I'm Pam Keaton, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs and Communications here. Thank you very much for coming. I'm handling the media relations for the Iraq Study Group, and my card is in each of the press folders, so if you have any questions, need to get a hold of me, my phone numbers and contact information is in there. The co-chairs will be joining us shortly. What I'd like to ask you to do, since it's kind of a small room and we've got cameras here, turn off cell phones or any other devices that will ring or make noise, and so we don't interrupt anything. I'll give you a little background on how this is going to proceed today. The co-chairs will each make a brief statement, and then they will take your questions. I think they're prepared to be here about a half hour. So, thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for attending this press conference. My name is James Baker, and I am co-chairman with Lee Hamilton here of the Iraq Study Group. The Iraq Study Group has just completed its first full meeting since its creation was announced on March 15th. It was founded at the request of members of Congress. In the coming months, our study group intends to make a bipartisan, forward-looking assessment of the current and prospective situation in Iraq, its impact on the surrounding region, and consequences for United States interests. Today we had a productive exchange of ideas about ways we might develop insights and advice that might be helpful to the administration and to the Congress, and thereby helpful to the nation. We are under no illusions, however, as to the difficulty of this challenge. To assist our effort, the study group has enlisted 41 of the nation's best and most experienced experts in the disciplines that we need to consider in order for us to thoroughly examine the situation in Iraq. They possess a broad range of expertise regarding the various issues that we are going to have to address, including military, economic, political, and development issues. They also offer a broad and deep knowledge of Iraq and the region. Today, we established a group of 5 retired military leaders who have agreed to serve as the study group's senior advisor military panel. This panel includes Navy Admiral James O. Ellis, Jr., Army General John M. Kane, Army General Edward C. Meyer, Air Force General Joseph W. Ralston, and Army Lieutenant General Roger C. Schultz, Jr. Additionally, the Iraq Study Group has received commitments from 36 other experts, whom we have divided into 4 working groups. These experts will study the following 4 areas: military and security, economy and reconstruction, political development, and Iraq's strategic environment in the region. Lists of the military senior advisor panel and the expert working groups and their membership will be distributed to you today. The efforts of the expert working groups and the military senior advisor panel is being coordinated by 4 of the nation's premier think tanks: the United States Institute of Peace, the Center for the Study of the Presidency, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and the James Baker Institute for Public Policy at Rice University in Houston. To do our job, we have to receive the most accurate information and analysis available. With these experts, retired military officers, and think tanks on board, our effort will receive thoughtful attention from some of the most knowledgeable leaders in their fields in the nation. I want to thank each of them for their civic spirit in volunteering their time to assist their country in this difficult task. In the coming months, the study group members and experts will identify and interview key leaders in this country, in the Middle East region, and in other areas. Today, we got a good start in that effort when we heard from Tom Finger, chairman of the National Intelligence Council. Now let me turn the microphone over to Lee Hamilton, with whom I worked very closely when I was Secretary of State and he was chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee. I have the greatest respect for Lee's ability to fairly address complex events, just as he did as chairman of the 9/11 Commission and when we worked together on the Carter-Baker Commission on Federal Election Reform in 2005. Lee?
Okay, thank you very much, Jim, and let me say, first of all, it's a high privilege for me to stand alongside and work with Secretary Baker. As he has indicated, we've just finished a very lively and productive morning of discussion and a good part of the afternoon as well. I think we've got an exceptional group of people who make up the Iraq Study Group. You have their names, very distinguished citizens from the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government, and from the private sector as well and local government. I'm impressed. I think Jim and I are both impressed with their deep commitment to this. They're all people that have extraordinarily heavy schedules themselves. They put that aside, and they are giving their full attention to this extremely difficult problem. This is a big mountain to climb, to try to identify for the country the path forward from where we are today in Iraq. We're committed to do that in a spirit of bipartisanship, and we will call upon the best and the brightest minds that we can find to address this problem. I'm pleased that the White House has welcomed the Iraq Study Group. I think you may have that statement in your packet, and they will be facilitating our work. But we want to emphasize that we are not a White House study group. We're not a congressional study group. We're an independent study group that will eventually report to the President and to the Congress and to the American people about our work. We've had a very good response on Capitol Hill. A number of the members came out for our rollout a few weeks ago. Many members have been contacted about the group's work. All of them have indicated support. None, to my knowledge, have indicated opposition to it. And so we've been pleased with that. We worked this morning in developing a comprehensive list of people to interview in the coming weeks ahead. And we will do that. The list is quite long. It includes, of course, high-ranking current officials, high-ranking past officials, and really all kinds of experts around the country, both in the public and the private sector. We will, of course, speak with the highest-ranking officials of the President Bush's administration, and we intend to speak with high-ranking former members of various administrations as well. We will certainly speak with top military leaders, both past and present. We will be speaking with leaders from the private, non-government organization, the NGO community, with journalists who have had deep experience there, and from a with a broad range of private sector and academic leaders. We will also speak with Iraqis from within and without a prospective government. And we will seek very broad consultation with leaders in the region. As a matter of fact, that process is underway. Finally, let me just say that we will proceed here with a great sense of urgency. We are not setting a deadline. We will proceed with as much speed as we possibly can, but the complexity of the issue and the scope of it requires that we be careful and deliberate in our work. We will work expeditiously. We will report back, as I've indicated, to the President and the Congress and the American people within a year. Let me close by saying that Jim Baker and I are doing our very best at this point to keep open minds. We are beginning with trying to understand what the situation is today on the ground. What are the facts? And we want to hear all opinions. We'll be listening to people who support policy, who are opposed to policy, who have different ideas about policy. And after today's meeting, I really am quite encouraged by the response we've had, the enthusiasm we've had, really, for tackling this extraordinarily difficult problem. Jim Baker and I will be pleased to respond to your questions.
Barbara?
Talked about speaking to regional leaders. Would that include speaking to leaders in Iran?
Well, that's something that I don't think that's a bridge we haven't crossed. It's something we have to consider, of course, and we will do so in consultation with Congress and with the administration.
Well, our interest is not back, but forward. And so we will be focusing on leaders who can help us understand what the facts are today and what the options are in the future. We don't rule out anybody at the moment. We haven't created a list at this point of Iraqi leaders we will see or not see. That remains to be done. Of course, we exclude no one that we think will be helpful to our mandate.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us an idea of the model you're using, exactly what you hope to achieve here? I mean, clearly books have been written, rings of hearings have been held. Administration has spent 3 years trying to figure out how to get this right. We've had various iterations of people in the think tank community have already looked at this. Give us an idea of exactly what you're trying to achieve here.
Well, go ahead, Jim.
Well, let me first say that the effort here is an effort to examine in a forward-looking way, the way Lee has already indicated to you, not hand-wringing about the past or mistakes that might have been made. We're looking forward, and we're doing so strictly on a bipartisan basis in the hope that we can come up with some advice and insights that might be useful to the policymakers in Washington, both legislative and executive branch, and thereby useful to the country. That's our hope.
I think one of the things that impresses me is that many policymakers are looking for solutions here, and they genuinely want some guidance. Everybody knows we're in a difficult spot there. If you ask anybody about Iraq today and you spell out the broad options, they'll say, well, I don't like any of them. We're in a very difficult spot to start. We think that the work we can do will be of, if we do it right and if we're successful at it, will be of great help to the policymakers. We hope that's the case. Let me emphasize what Jim said a moment ago here. We have no illusions about this. We understand the difficulty of the task, and every day we're reminded of it. But we're going to give it the best shot.
We're going to really make a strong effort to do this, if we can, by consensus, because we understand that a 6-4, we have 10 members of our Iraq study group, a 6-4 recommendation doesn't mean a whole lot. And we're trying to come up with a consensus recommendation that would represent, on a bipartisan basis, a way forward.
Do you have a consensus agreement right now among your group whether there is a civil war underway?
No. Well, we don't want to try to predict what our recommendations will be. Keep in mind that this is really the first meeting today of the Iraq Study Group. We had a kind of a rump session, if you would, at the day of the rollout, but this is the first day we've really had a chance to talk as a group, and we're very far away at this point from thinking about our recommendations. We are focusing now on organization and process, how we get this started, how we do it right, getting the right people involved. We think we've achieved all of that. Now we're beginning to think of how we proceed from this point. I think we'll take the substantive part of our work in two stages. One will be to answer the question, where are we today in Iraq? Not an easy question to answer in terms of politics or economics or security. And then, secondly, we will begin to look at what you have suggested. That's the recommendations. But we've had no discussion of recommendations.
But I think it's fair to say we're going to look at all policy approaches and consider all policy approaches.
Yes. Yes.
But it would probably not be, if I might add, a standalone recommendation. It might be in the context of a broader policy approach.
Question about climate. A number of people have said this year is likely to be the decisive year in Iraq. You've given yourself a year to do this study.
Well, we don't know the answer to that. Facts are developing rather quickly on the ground in Iraq, and we'll have to be flexible and we'll have to be responsive to that. We can't predict that ahead of time. So it is possible that the facts on the ground would kind of overtake us or overwhelm us here, but none of us can make that prediction now. But we'll certainly have to keep our eye on what happens on the ground.
We haven't said we won't come in inside of a year. Yeah. We've simply said we're not going to commit to do it inside of a year.
An interim report for
that? We have no targets for reports. The only thing we're committed to is a final report. Now, that does not exclude the possibility of interim reports. We will be looking at that.
Yes, sir.
Talk about the inability to form a government by the Iraqis recently. Even if a government is formed, do you believe that the Iraqis have what it takes to form a consensus political system to run the country in the long run, given the history of sectarian strife?
We don't want to make any statements today about the substance of the Iraqi political situation. We just had our first meeting with the various expert working groups, one of which is political. We have submitted to each of those working groups a large number of questions, including the one you've put forward, and we're going to have to get those questions answered and then evaluate them.
In an effort to establish ground truth, will either members of the commission or the experts travel to Iraq?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You've been saying that your intent is to look forward, but we got to where we are in Iraq because of policies and decisions that have been made over the last few years. How do you plan to take that process of the past into account in looking forward?
Well, as Lee just said, one of the first things we have to do is satisfy ourselves with respect to what the situation is today on the ground, economically, politically, militarily, and from a strategic regional standpoint. We will do that. And then we will attempt to come up with some advice and insights that might be useful to the Congress and the administration.
Both of you have been around this town for an awful long time. It's one of the
I've been gone for an awful long time.
Welcome back. one of the salient points about this whole conflict is it seems to be cut along a partisan divide. The administration has not welcomed a lot of help in the past on how it formulates its policy in Iraq. They're apparently open to this. Did that motivate you to the fact that this seemed to be so partisan in this town to come across the aisle from both of you?
I think I said earlier that one of our fundamental objectives here is to see if we can come together in with a bipartisan recommendation, a consensus recommendation that would be helpful. That, in effect, takes it out of the political debate if we're able to do that, or it would take it out.
I think one of the things that motivates me, and I think Jim as well, is that the whole idea for this thing started in the Congress. Genuinely as a bipartisan proposal. And the White House, as your statement indicates, welcomes what we're trying to do and will support and facilitate it. So we begin on the premise that both the legislative and the executive branches are interested in our work. None of them are committed, obviously, to what we might do, but they are welcoming it and supporting it. And that's the chief thing from our point of view here.
We can't answer that today.
We will seek a broad diversity of opinion. and we will not speak with just one group of people. Now, I can't be more specific than that, but we've talked about that, and we will look for diversity of opinion.
Okay.
Yeah,
one
very good.
Have you made any contact with leaders in Iraq? I mean, you're making these recommendations to the U.S. government, but any initial contact to see if these recommendations...
To leaders in Iraq?
In Iraq.
No, but we will be. Yeah. We haven't yet.
Okay, thank you very much.